God is so faithful to us. If I haven't met you before, my name's Trey Johnson. I've known Pastor Dennis for several years now. We've got to do a lot of different things together and be speakers at different things at the same time. And it's always just neat to see how God connects people and their hearts. You know, even though we've got to do a lot of different things together, we haven't got to spend a whole lot of time together, but we know our hearts are connected and we serve the same God and have the same heart for people. That you know that God loves you and there's great things in store for each and every one of us. You know, I've been in the ministry 17 years now, pastored for almost 9 years, and I've traveled the other times. I also rodeo professionally and have a beautiful wife and 3 kids, one that's 7, one that's 9, one that's 13. And I won't tell you my wife's age because she'll probably be listening to this, so I'll... But there, of course, with school and everything else, they're at home tonight. I have a gentleman that's with me, that travel with me, that's helping. So it's just an honor to be here and a privilege. And it's an honor to be in the process of knowing God. You know, each and every one of us, we are a work in progress, aren't we? None of us have it all figured out. You know, one thing, because I won the Rookie of the Year in 2000, and after that, I totally got out of the rodeo world, and I just pastored churches. And when the Lord started talking to me about going back and traveling again, it's very interesting how, you know, 1 week I'll be in a non-denominational church, then a cowboy church, then a Pentecostal church, then a Methodist church, then a Baptist church. And you know, none of us have it all figured out yet. And if we would learn from each other, we really would be the body of Christ, because that's really who we are. And so it's fun just to learn and to grow. And so I want to encourage you to... just let down your walls and embrace and pull. Expect to hear God tonight. I've been praying for you, and I know Pastor has, and I know you've been praying for yourself. Let's learn and let's grow tonight. And that's one of the things I want to be talking to you about tonight is growing on purpose. Growing on purpose. Because each and every one of us, we're wired a certain way. We're designed a certain way. We're gifted with certain gifts, and God has a purpose, and God has a plan for each and every one of us. And I know you've realized it just like I have, that life is in session, right? Life is happening. But are you present? Are you present? Not just physically, are you present in becoming who God has called and created you to become? Are you in the process of developing that gift and those graces that God has placed in you and on you to touch the world around you? Why is it so important for you to become who God has called and created you to be? Very familiar scripture. It says for John chapter 3, verse 16, says, for God so loved who? Not the church. He does love the church, don't get me wrong. But for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is after the world. He also tells us that it's not His desire that any person perishes, right? But everybody comes to repentance. Well, how is He going to reach everybody? If He loves the world and He sent Jesus, how is He going to reach the world? Remember when Jesus brought the disciples together in Matthew 28, and He says, all power and authority has been given unto me. Now I give it unto you. Now go into the world. He didn't say go into the church, even though the church is a very important part. He says don't forsake assembling yourselves together in the church. The church is God's greenhouse. It's where God has set up with the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist for the equipping and maturing of the saints. It's a place that He has designed for what's in you to come out. And it says it's very important for us to gather together because this is where we mature. This is where we grow. This is where we're edified. So it lets me know that if I'm not a part of not just the church globally, because if you're born again, you're a part of the church of God globally, but there's also a place where it pleases God to place you in the body of Christ locally. So when you're in your place locally, it empowers you to be in your place globally. The house of God is very important to God. You are very important to God. Because in this house, you come in here and He has the thermostat set on grow. For the dream that's in you to come alive, for the passions in you to come alive, for the desires in you to come alive. Why? Because He loves the world. And he wants to reach the world through you and through myself. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you go to the job you go to? Do you know yourself well enough? Your gifts, your talents, your passions? Are you where you're created to be? Not are you working for a paycheck. Are you fulfilling your purpose? A lot of times the older people get, and like I said, I've been in this for some years now, one of the things that grips my heart is to see people 70, 80 years old, tears running down their face, and them look at me and say, Trey, I don't know why I'm on this earth. That isn't God's heartbeat for you. It's not His heartbeat for me. He wants us to know why we're here and what we're put on this earth to do. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says that God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And He has set you apart, and He has appointed you for dot, dot, dot. That's for you to discover in your relationship with God. See, we don't tell Him what we're going to do. A lot of times we want to just do whatever we're told. Growing up, you can do anything you want to do. But really, it isn't our job just to do anything we want to do. It's our job to discover what we're put on this earth to do by Almighty God. Then once we know what God has put us on this earth to do, now we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Isaiah 45, verses 9 through 13, it says, does the creation tell the Creator, this is what I'm going to do? Jeremiah 18, verses 3 through 8, it's a very familiar scripture. I know that you know it. It talks about the potter and the clay and the pottery. He goes in there and he's watching. It says the potter takes the clay that has been spoiled. The word spoil means that it's been altered from its original intent. And a lot of times we get altered from our original intent because there's an original intent that God has for you on this earth. But because of society and the environment we grew up in, because of sin, because of the curse, our original intent gets altered. But whenever we come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we get back on the wheel and He starts reworking us where we can be who we're truly called and created to be. But it takes growing on purpose. It takes growing on purpose. Because a lot of times where we are and where God wants us to be, there's a gap. Picture this, where you're at right now and where God wants us to be. What is this gap? That gap is personal growth. That if we aren't in the process of becoming, we never get from where we are to where God wants us to be because we're not willing to grow and to become the person God has called and created us to be. That's why it takes a choice and a decision that I'm going to grow on purpose. Say, grow on purpose. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but grow, say grow, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. But grow, say grow, in the grace. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, just to the left of where we're at. Grow on purpose. Say, I'm going to grow on purpose. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Say, grow. Say, I'm going to grow on purpose. Ephesians chapter 4, just keep going to the left. God wants us to grow on purpose. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Now, leading up to this, it talks about Him giving the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist the gifts to the body of Christ for us to mature and grow. In verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. God wants us to grow. Say, God wants me to grow. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every joint supplies, according to the effectual working by which every part does its share, causes growth. Say, growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, why would God want you to grow and me to grow, His body to grow? Because He always has other people on His mind. God refers to us as the body of Christ, right? And He refers to us that we all have our part and we all have our place. But what if my hand didn't grow as fast as my leg? And what if my ear grew faster than my hand and my leg? And what if my nose didn't grow at all? I would look disproportionate, wouldn't I? But what's happening in the body of Christ is that there's a part growing, a kneecap is growing, and the rear is growing a lot of times. Yeah, I'm not going to say anything. You can just, if you're a rear, just quit being a rear, okay? Even though we all have our part, right? But what if, picture this with me, what if every person in here was fulfilling their purpose and growing proportionately? What if every one of us knew why we were here and we were doing what we were created to do and we'd made the choice and decision that I'm going to be everything God has called and created me to grow? We would have the hands growing at the right time, the knees growing at the right pace, the lungs growing at the right pace, the heart growing at the right pace, because we have the head who is Jesus. But for so long, we've had a disproportionate body, and God's desire is that we make the choice that we grow personally to become everything that God has called and created us to be. Amen? Amen. So between where I am today and where God wants me to be, there's a gap, and that gap is growth a lot of times. 3 John verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. The word "even as," it's a set standard. So he says, I want you to prosper and be in health, even as the set standard, according to your soul prospering. But a lot of times we live trying to prosper, thinking money is prosperity, thinking this is prosperity, thinking this job is prosperity. But prosperity is knowing God and being you. That is true prosperity, where you're walking in relationship with God and you're being who you're created and called to be. You know people, and I know people, who have all the money in the world and they are miserable. Just because you can reach a goal doesn't mean you're growing. I know a lot of people that hit goals, but they never grow. But if you determine to grow, you will keep growing and growing and growing, and you will hit mark after mark after mark. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14? He says, my determined purpose is to know Him and to grow. And in this process of growing, I'm going to press towards the mark. He says, and if I keep pressing, I keep growing, I'm going to keep hitting mark after mark after mark after mark to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he did that because at the end of his life, he says, I've finished my race. I've completed my course. Remember what Jesus said in John 17, verse 4? Father, I've completed what you've put me here to do. I want to stand before God. Don't you want to stand before God? And every dream that God has placed in you, every book that He's placed in you, every business He's placed in you, every gift that He's placed in you, everything that He's placed in you, you can stand before it and say, Lord, I know that I have fulfilled what you put me on this earth to do. Picture this with me. Let's just say you're at the end of your life and you're sitting there on your bed and you're fixing to go meet Jesus, but all of a sudden your gift is brought into the room, and here you have the gift of writing, or you have the gift of administration, or you have the gift of whatever it is, and this gift and this gift, and all of them are in the room, and you're sitting there looking at them saying, oh man, look at all these gifts. And the gifts talk back and they say, I was given to you, but you never did anything with me. I don't want that to be us. God wants us to grow, but it takes a choice to grow, to develop. The word develop means to unfold. To unfold. So to go from where I'm at to where God wants me to be, the bridge is what? Growth. The bridge is what? Growth. But in order for me to grow, to become everything God has called and created me to be, I've got to start asking myself some questions. What could be holding me back from becoming everything God has called and created me to be? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, just to the right of where we're at. I'm going to grow on purpose. Say, I'm going to grow on purpose. I apologize, to the left of where we're at. I'm going to grow on purpose. So what could be holding me back? I want us to think tonight, what could be holding me back from being everything God has called and created me to be? Verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now, part of casting down in the Amplified, it says, "For the overthrow and destructions of strongholds." Now, destructions of strongholds means to tear it up in little pieces. So kind of a summary of this right here, he's saying our weapons are mighty before God, and there's certain things in our life that we're going to have to pull down, and we're going to have to lead away. And when we lead those thoughts away, our thinking away, we're going to have to tear it up. And then we're going to have to re-grab what God says about us and what God says about our situation. So I've got to ask myself, if the gap is between where I'm at and where God wants me to be, if there's certain things that could be holding me back, the hold back, the stronghold starts in my mind, not anywhere else. The stronghold, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove, what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Well, the process of renewing your mind is you're pulling down the way you used to think and putting up what God thinks. And as I begin to think like God thinks, then I begin to experience the life that God has for me. If I don't change the way I think, I don't change the way I live. No thinking change, no life change. No thinking change, no life change. So what could I be thinking that's holding me back from growing into the person God has called and created me to be? And God is saying, we need to pull those things down, lead them away captive, tear them up, and then reach up and get a hold again. Pull down wrong thinking, lead it away, tear it up, and line our thinking up with God's thinking. One more time. Pull down wrong thinking, lead it away, tear it up, and reach up and get a hold of what God thinks about you and thinks about the way you're wired and designed and made. So what could some of those thoughts be? How do I think about growth? Could a thought that I need to tear down, could that thought be that I just assume that I'm going to grow automatically? Could that thought I need to pull down is the thought of assumption? That just like as a little child, when a little child's born, we know if that little child just stays in the process, we're not concerned if it doesn't come out with a goatee. We're not concerned if it doesn't come out with teeth, right? We're not concerned if it doesn't come out with long hair. We're not concerned if it doesn't come out with armpit hair. We probably would be concerned if it did come out with those things, right? But we know if it just lives long enough, what's going to begin to happen? Teeth, hair in other areas, growth. Why? Just by living. Well, we've brought that perception over into the body of Christ, thinking that if I just live long enough in the church, I'm going to grow. And God is wanting us to pull that thought down, lead it away, tear it up, and realize that growth is a choice and that I've got to grow on purpose. I can't assume that if I just hang out and just go through the motions, I'm going to grow. Could that be a way of thinking that is holding me back from growing and becoming the person God has called and created me to be? What else could be holding me back? Could it be the way that I think about knowledge, about growth? Do I think in a way that I don't know how to grow, so I'm not going to grow? I don't know how to grow, so I'm not going to grow. And so we just go through life and we have this experience and we learn a little bit from this experience and we learn from this heart knock and we learn from this difficulty and we learn by accident. Instead of having a plan for growth and choosing what we're going to learn and then following through with discipline, wouldn't that be better to have a plan? Choose what you're going to learn and then follow through with discipline. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." But it's God's heartbeat that we have knowledge. Remember what we read, that we grow in grace.
That because of the Word of God, we grow to become who God's called us to be. That God's desire is that we grow up into Him in all things. Remember, each part, because some of you are designed to be the eyes, some designed to be the ears, some designed to be the hand. Each part growing simultaneously. And as we grow, we're discovering our gifts. We're discovering the vision. We're discovering the purpose. We're discovering the talents. We're discovering everything that God has placed on the inside of us. And we're no longer where we were, but now we're starting to move because we're pulling down wrong things. Thinking, we're leading it away, we're tearing it up, and we're laying hold of what God says and thinks about us. Could the way I think about time be what's holding me back? That it's not the right time to begin. It's not the right time. It's just not the right time to begin. I'll start growing on purpose tomorrow. I'll start that diet tomorrow. I'll start exercising tomorrow. I'll do that dream tomorrow. I'll develop the gift tomorrow. I'll forgive tomorrow. I'll pray tomorrow. I'll worship tomorrow. It's not time to begin. Why do we do that? Because we're comfortable. And we just cruise through life in our comfort zone, and we just stay in those ruts. And you know the only difference between a rut and a grave is the length and the depth. See, a rut, we adopt this attitude, I'm just going to get by. I'm just going to cruise through life. You've got more in you than that. You've got more in you than that. What about what God has placed on the inside of you? Why? Once again, why is it important for you to become everything God has called and created you to be? Why? Because He has other people on His mind. He has a world that He wants to reach. There are people in your family, people in your relationships that He has wired you and gifted you and graced you to you for you just to know Him and to be you for you to reach them. But if you don't know Him and be you, well, then God loves them enough. He's going to find somebody else, but you're going to miss out on walking in fulfillment and walking in purpose and walking in a sense of victory in your life because you're doing what you're created to do. But what is it going to take for us to fulfill everything God has placed on the inside of us? Growing on purpose. Growing on purpose. We've got to make a choice to grow on purpose. So what about another thought that I need to pull down? What could be holding me back? Now, we've talked about the assumption. We've talked about knowledge. We've talked about timing. How about mistakes? How about maybe the way you look at mistakes? That I'm afraid to make mistakes. And because we're afraid to make mistakes, we stay where we're at. You know, I'm reminded of in Matthew 25, you can look at it in your own time, but the story of the talents, where one was given five, another was given two, and one was given one, and the five took what he had, and he multiplied it, and he gained five more, and the two took what he had, and multiplied it, and he gained two more, and the one said, I was afraid, so I went and I hid what you gave me. And the Lord said, you should have at least put it in the bank where I could have gained some interest. You should have at least done something with that dream I gave you. You should have at least done something with that gift to love on kids that I gave you. You should have at least done something with that desire to be a blessing on the inside. You should have at least lifted your hands. You should have at least forgiven that. But you should have at least taken a step towards your destiny. But you were afraid. You're afraid you would make mistakes. And the thing about mistakes is they're a must in order for us to be who God has called and created us to be. Not that He does it, that we're human. Every one of us make mistakes. But mistakes, we've got to learn to fall forward when we make a mistake. Not get knocked down and stay down. Micah 7, verse 7 and 8 says, When I get knocked down, I shall arise. I shall come back. That mistakes just let us know at least I'm moving in the right direction. You know, I've made mistakes in the rodeo world. I've missed cattle for lots of money. But I've also caught them for lots of money. In ministry, I've made some mistakes. You know, this one lady, I went up and started to pray for her baby, and she said she wasn't even pregnant. That was a mistake that I learned from. Some of you will get that later. Mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. Go with me to Psalms 23, verse 5. Psalms 23, verse 5. How do you look at mistakes? How do you look at problems? Are you afraid to make mistakes? Because if you are, you need to pull down that mindset, lead it away, tear it up, and embrace that, you know what? I'm going to make mistakes and it's okay. My God is big enough to help me get back up and to learn and to grow, but I'm going to grow on purpose. I'm going to go after my dream. I'm going to fulfill my vision. I'm going to develop my gifts. I'm going to develop my talents. I'm going to be all that I can be for the glory of God. How do you look at mistakes? Are you afraid of what other people are going to say about you? Are you afraid of what other people are going to think about you? Are you afraid to overextend yourself financially? Are you afraid to get out of your comfort zone? God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound, calm, well-balanced mind. Quit being afraid and be who God has called and created you to be. But what is it going to take for me to go from where I'm at to where God wants me to be? Growth. And I've got to choose to pull down the way I think about mistakes, lead it away, tear it up, and embrace that my God is bigger, my God is for me, my God believes in me, my God is merciful, my God is gracious, He is on my side. Whenever I fall down, whenever I miss it, whenever I make a mistake, He's going to help me get right back up and get in the game. Psalms 23, verse 5, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my friends. No, of my enemies. Of my enemies. That any problem, any circumstance, any situation that you're facing in life, God says there's an opportunity there if you will approach it correctly. Because from where you're at to where God wants you to be, you've got to change the way you look at problems. You've got to change the way you look at circumstances. That circumstances and problems, they're just opportunities to grow. They're opportunities to get smarter. They're an opportunity to know God more, to develop your gifts, develop your talents. And it flips the devil smooth out whenever a believer just pulls up to the problem that's supposed to intimidate us, that's supposed to knock us on our back, that's supposed to just cause fear to come all over us. And we pull up and we say, "My God didn't give me a spirit of fear, and greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And you have already been defeated. I'm just here to put you in your place." And you eat some wisdom, and you eat some joy, and you eat some strength, and you eat some power, and you eat some love, and you eat some word, and you praise, and you worship, and you push back from the table, and that devil just, he don't know what to do with himself. Why? Because you're realizing that it's a choice to grow. It's a choice to develop. It's a choice to be all that God has called and created us to be. And when you do that, and you do that, and you do that, and we are all doing that, we're growing proportionally. Why? Because God has other people on His mind, and this church begins to make a difference like it's never made a difference before in its life. But it takes a choice to grow on purpose. How about the thought about perfection? Do you sit back and do you have thoughts that I got to find the best way before I start? But in reality, you won't find the best way until you start. But a lot of times people don't take the first steps. Remember Psalms 37, verse 23 and 24. It says, "The footsteps of a righteous person, they're ordered of the Lord." In other words, get in the game. Get to stepping. Think about what you think about. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about what you think about? Think about what could be holding me back. Is it the way that I just assume that because I'm a Christian, I'm just going to grow automatically? Well, we need to pull that down, lead it away, tear it up, and realize that growth is a what? Growth is a choice. Growing on purpose is a choice. How about the way I look at knowledge? Well, I don't know how to start, so I'm just not going to start. No, we need to pull it down, lead it away, tear it up, and realize that God wants me to grow in the knowledge of His grace. He wants me to grow in the knowledge of His Word. He wants me to grow in the knowledge of Him so I can be me. How about timing? It's just not time yet. It's not time to do this. It's not time. And don't get me wrong, there's the timing of God, but a lot of times people use that as an excuse. I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. You know the definition of an excuse? An invalid reason for neglecting your duty. In other words, there's no good reason for you not being you and me not being me. Yes, every one of us have a story. Every one of us have gone through difficult times, but we serve God Almighty. We serve the God that is more than enough. We serve God Almighty. So there's no excuse for us not to develop the gift or not to develop the dream or not fulfill our purpose. There's no excuse. Say there's no excuse. It takes growing on purpose, though. How about the way you look at inspiration? Well, I don't feel like growing. I don't feel like changing my mind. I don't feel like forgiving. I don't feel like praising. I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like exercising. I don't feel like developing my gift. I don't feel. You know, if you keep waiting for the feeling, most of the time the feelings are never going to come. There's days you don't feel saved, but you are saved because that's what the Word says, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Regardless of how you feel, get stepping towards becoming who God has called and created you to become. I don't feel. If you will act first, feelings will follow your actions. Feelings will follow your thinking. You get your thinking going in the right direction, then your emotions are going to back up the way that you think. Right? You've experienced it just like I have before. Think of a time when maybe you had an animal that you loved. It got run over. Or maybe a friend left you or departed or something that it hurt your heart. A family member went to heaven and it hurt. See, some of you, as you're thinking about that, you can automatically feel your emotions kick in. But then also think about the time that you had that business deal that you closed, or how about the time you met that divine relationship that changed the course of your life, or how about that time you won that something that it was just, oh, it was great. How about that time you got the promotion? How about that time? And automatically you can feel your emotions begin to lift, can't you? Why? Because your emotions are going to follow the way you think. That's why God says, guard the way you think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you prove what's a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Begin to think on God's promises. Begin, whether you feel like it or not, begin when you read something in the Word of God. Begin to do what you see in the Word of God. So some of you are waiting for a feeling, and it's time to pull it down. The Amplified says, lead it away, and then rip it up, and then grab a hold of what God has for your life, that I will be everything God has called and created me to be, because where I'm at and where God wants me to be, what is the gap? What's the bridge? What's going to bridge it? Growth on purpose. What's the bridge from where we're at to being who God has called and created us to be? Growth. Growth. Personal growth. How about the thoughts that you have about comparison? That you decide not to grow because you spend a lot of time comparing yourself to other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says it's unwise for you to compare yourself to somebody else. That God did not make you to be anybody else. God won't help you be anybody else, but God will help you be you. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says that God has given you the faith to be you, so please operate in the faith that you have to be you. That gift you have the faith and you have the grace. Romans chapter 11, verse 29, it says the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. You keep reading through Romans chapter 12, and it says not only do you have a gift in you, now you have a grace on you. He says now use it for the glory of God. So you've got a gift, you've got a grace, and there's no excuse for you to run your race. You have a gift. You have a grace. So please develop that vision. Please develop that business. Please be the woman, the man that God has called you to be. Please be the hand. Please be the ear. Please be the eye. Please grow proportionally. But it's going to take pulling down that ideal of they're better than me. They have more money than me. They have more time than me. If you get a hold of your purpose and you get a hold of your vision, money will come. Time will come. Tenacity will come. Energy will come. Courage will come. Jesus said, when you seek Him first, everything else is added unto you, because you're going somewhere, you're being somebody, and you're making a difference. See, God wants you to be who He's called and created you to be. God wants you to develop that gift. God wants you to develop that dream. God wants everything in you to come out. He wants you to die empty. But how many of us go to the grave with everything God placed on the inside of us? Thinking, whew, I made it through life. What are some thoughts you need to pull down? Lead away. Tear up. and realize that it's a choice and a decision to grow. How can we start implementing these things in our life? Write this down. Ask yourself the big questions right now, today. Ask yourselves questions right now, today. Why has God put me on this earth? What are the desires that God has placed in my heart? Psalms 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. What natural talents and gifts do you have? Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, it talks about the different gifts and He says you've got the grace and you've got the faith. Use them. What's your passion? What's your passion? Some of you haven't had passion in years. Why? Because you're just working a job instead of fulfilling your purpose. Yeah, you've been retired from your job for years, some of you, but you can't retire from your purpose. Proverbs 19, verse 26 says, the purpose of God remains forever, whether you use it or whether you don't, it's still there. Locate, what is your passion? Ask yourself, how do I grow? Find the desires, find the gift, make a decision. I'm going to pull down the way I think about knowledge. I'm going to pull down the way I think about time. I'm going to pull down the way that I think about comparison. I'm going to pull down the way I think about other people's gifts. And I'm going to build up that I'm going to go after God with all of my heart. I'm going to know Him and I'm going to be me. And everything that God has put in me, I'm going to leave it here on this earth whenever my time has come. Ask yourself the big questions. Where do I want to go? Because see, when we realize that life is, it's a process, it's a journey, it's not a destination, that you change your question from how long is this going to take to how far can I go? How many people can I reach? How many businesses can I have? What can I do? What can I accomplish? And you hear the Spirit of God on the inside of you saying, all things are possible to you if you'll just believe. But the thing is, once you get to knowing God, you realize there's more to just believing. That if you truly believe, you'll also do. You know, in 20 different languages, the word believe and the word do are the same word. That if you truly believe that God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way, if you truly believe that God is going to bring restoration for all the enemy has stolen in your life, what are you doing about it? If you truly believe that God has placed a gift, a talent, a vision, a purpose on the inside of you, what are you doing? Where are you going? What's your plan? Ask yourself the big question now, right now. How do I start growing? Ask yourself the right questions. Have you realized that God, whenever you start talking to God about something, He'll come back with a question a lot of times? Why is that? Because questions release potential. Questions release potential. Potential is a way that you haven't thought yet. It's a way that you haven't believed yet. It's something that you haven't done in the natural yet, but it's in you. So He'll ask questions to release the answer that's already on the inside of you. Because once you have that answer come up on the inside of you and you latch hold of it and you take responsibility for what God has told you, then nobody can take that away from you. But until we take responsibility for our dream and for our purpose and for our vision and for our gifts, because do you realize nobody else will take responsibility for you but you? But once you take responsibility, once you take ownership, then it don't matter what you face in life. You keep stepping. You keep persevering. You keep growing. You keep becoming. You keep stretching. You keep praising when you don't feel like praising. You keep worshiping when you don't feel like worshiping. You keep doing what you know to do when it seems like nothing is changing out here, because you know change is taking place in here. And if you change in here, things will change eventually out here. Ask yourself the big questions. Number two, do it now. Do it now. Do what God is telling you to do now. Do something to develop that gift now. Do something to stretch your thinking now. Get a hold of the promises of God and pull down wrong thinking and build up right thinking. When? Right now. Right now. There's a man by the name of W. Clement Stone who said, before you get out of bed in the morning, say, do it now 50 times. Do it now, 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 do it now. Just do it now.
Before you go to sleep at night, do it now, 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 do it now. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. For one thing, what is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is when? Now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is now. I'm going to think God's Word now. I'm going to believe God's Word now. I'm going to speak God's Word now. Jesus said, don't think about tomorrow, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness right now, today, and everything else will be added. Because once you get to tomorrow, you're going to need to be in the now tomorrow. But right now, you're not in tomorrow, you're in today. So do it now. Do it now. What is it that God has placed on your heart that you've been putting off? And putting off, and putting off. And if you keep putting it off to tomorrow, you're going to get to tomorrow. And you keep putting it off, then what? It's going to be tomorrow. And then you get to tomorrow, then you're going to put it off to tomorrow. I'm going to exercise tomorrow. I'm going to worship tomorrow. I'm going to change the way I think tomorrow. I'm going to forgive tomorrow. I'm going to develop my gift tomorrow. I'm going to do what I need to do tomorrow. And we continue to postpone the will of God and what God has for us. So do it now. Number three. How do I start growing? Because from where I'm at to where God wants me to be, I'm going to have to grow on purpose. What am I going to have to do, church? I'm going to have to grow on purpose. Number three, face your fears. Face your fears. If I'm going to grow on purpose, I'm going to have to face my fears. Do you have the fear of failure? Fear of rejection. Fear of finances. The fear of what others say, what others think. Because see, whatever is stronger, faith or fear, that's what's going to win. Remember Job chapter 3, verse 25, it says, "The thing that I feared came upon me, and the thing that I dreaded happened unto me." Quoted a while ago, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God did not give me a spirit of fear." So if there's an area of fear in your life, studies say that the only two fears that a person is born with is the fear of loud noises and the fear of falling. But God said, "I didn't give you a spirit of fear. I didn't give it to you." So we've got to be real with ourselves. What am I afraid of? Robert Schuller said, "If you knew that you would not fail, what would you do? If you knew you could not fail, what would you do?" Jesus comes right behind it, backing it up. All things are possible to you whenever you believe. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "Perfect love cast out fear." When you are in the process of knowing God and being you, and you've asked yourself the big questions right now, what are my gifts? What are my passions? Where am I going? What am I doing? What am I a part of? You're asking them right now, right now. And then you're doing something about it. When? Now. Faith is now. Do something tonight before you go to bed in the direction of your purpose, in the direction of your vision. Write down your gifts, strengths, abilities. Write down, what would other people say about you? What do you say about yourself? And do you need to pull down the way you think about yourself and lead it away because that isn't the way God sees you, and tear it up? Because some of you see yourself as a loser, but God sees you as a winner. Some of you see yourself as a tail, but God sees you as a head. Some of you see yourself as defeated, and God looks at you as more than a conqueror. Remember when in Judges chapter 6 when he showed up to Gideon? And Gideon's hiding. He was afraid in the wine press. And God says, "You mighty man of valor." And he says, who, me? I'm the weakest. I'm the littlest. And God says, "Mighty man of valor." It means mighty champion, warrior, man of great resource. That's the way I see you. How does God see you? We find it right here in His Word. Face your fear. Find the fear. Pull it down. Lead it away. Tear it up. Feed your faith, because whatever you feed, your fear or your faith, that's what's going to win. What is stronger in your life, fear or faith? How do you reverse it? If there's fear there, get what God's Word says, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And you hear the Word of God and you hear the Word of God and you do the Word of God, because faith is not only hearing, but faith is also doing. James chapter 2, verse 17, verse 22. Faith is not only hearing, but faith is doing. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "This is the victory that overcomes the world, overcomes the problem, overcomes the circumstance, even our faith." In the Greek, it says, "This is the means to our success, even our faith." Where do we get faith? From the Word of God.
says, this is a means. This is the means of our success. So face your fear. Fear of failure, fear of money, fear of what people say and think about you. When do we do this? Right now. Number four, change from accidental growth to intentional growth. Change from accidental growth to intentional growth. I wrote down a few things. Accidental growth thinks like this, because I want you to think, have you slipped into a rut in one of these areas? Accidental growth plans to start tomorrow. Intentional growth insists on starting today. Accidental waits for growth to come. Intentional takes complete responsibility to grow. Accidental learns only from mistakes. Intentional often learns before mistakes. Accidental quits early and often. Intentional perseveres long and hard. Accidental falls into bad habits. Intentional fights for good habits. Accidental talks big. Intentional follows through. Accidental plays it safe. Intentional takes a risk. Accidental thinks like a victim. Intentional thinks like a learner. Accidental relies just on talent, but intentional relies on character. Accidental growth stops learning after graduation, but intentional growth never stops growing. Never stops growing. So, do you need to pull down the way you think about knowledge? Do you need to pull down the way you think about time? Do you need to pull down the way you think about certain things, about comparison, about expectation? Some of you didn't expect it to be this hard. You didn't expect it to take this long. But when you realize that it is a journey, when you realize that it is a process, then you change the question, how long is this going to take, to how far can I go? How big can I become? What can I do with the help of God? Ask yourself the questions. The big questions, when? Now. Do it when? Face your fears when? Change from accidental growth to growth on purpose when? The gap between where I am and where God wants me to be, what's the bridge that gets me there? Growth. Father, I just come to you and I ask you to seal this seed in our heart, helping us become everything you've called and created us to be. Holy Spirit, I ask you to continue to reveal the plan of God to each and every individual here. Shine a light on their gifts. Shine a light on their strengths. Show them what areas of their thinking they need that's been holding them back, and that they have the greater one on the inside of them to pull it down and to build up the way you think about them, the way you see them, the way you feel about them, the love that you have for them. And that, Father, I declare that you unleash a hunger and a desire and a passion on the inside of every person in this place for them to be all you've called and created them to be. Why? Because you have other people on your mind. Yes, you love us, but you also love the world. Father, I pray over this church, that this church is a difference maker in this community, that people are growing proportionately in the things of God, that they operate in all the gifts of the Spirit, all the things that are in the Word of God, that every gift, every part is functioning properly according to the joint supply. And Father, the greatest supplier is you. I ask you to supply this church exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. I ask you to bring big thinkers and big believers and people that are hungry and thirsty and passionate for all that you have. That, Father, we as individuals, we don't settle for anything less than your very best. All you have, that's what we want, Father. And tonight, we're making a choice. We're going to grow. We're going to become, we're going to develop, we're going to stretch, we're going to continue to unfold things, we're going to know you and be us to make a difference on this earth in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, we just love you and worship you. I ask, Father, in your word, you said that your word keeps us while we sleep. Whenever we wake up, your word's talking to us. Holy Spirit, I ask you to stir this word in our hearts, and as we go through the day, it leads us. Father, we thank you for these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.